Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation Podcast with Steve Warren and the coach, Greg Kennedy.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It is another episode of the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation Podcast coming up today on this here show. Is Craig Berube the next head coach of the Ottawa Senators? Mark Methot with a kind of a bleak outlook on the Sens. A word on the passing of Hockey Night in Canada's Bob Cole. Much more coming up today here on the program. Steve Warren along with the coach, Greg Kennedy in his Wrigley Field shirt. How are things?
Very good, Steve. Yeah, I picked that up at Wrigley there last week.
Yeah,
I saw the Cubs beat the Marlins.
First time at Wrigley?
My first time at Wrigley. Yeah, not my first time in Chicago, but my first time in Chicago in the summer. So got to see a ball game. Finally got there. I've been to Fenway. I was at the old Yankee Stadium and finally got to Wrigley. I missed the original Comiskey, I guess, right? It's gone. So I don't know if there's any left that are old anymore in Major League Baseball.
Is it summer? For those of us who have only been in Ottawa, we wouldn't really know. Where's this warm weather? Maybe spring was in February. I don't know. Crazy climate.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Sorry, it's not summer yet.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. Coming up on the show today, got lots to get to, and so let's launch in a little bit in that Craig Berube's name in the news, as it has been basically since DJ Smith got fired. Was it Berube first? I think Berube got fired first, and then DJ Smith got fired. I'm not sure, but the order was they were within a few days of each other in the month of December, and so from then to about now, Berube's name has always been near the top of the list of consideration possibilities for the Ottawa Senators. And Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts, and of course, Hockey Night in Canada, had this to say about Berube today on his podcast.
I have people just telling me to watch Craig Berube there. Bruce Garriott reported Dean Evason had been interviewed, which makes perfect sense. But I've had a couple of teams tell me they think that Ottawa really likes Berube. And they believe I can't prove it. Nobody's saying anything, but they believe they've already interviewed him. So we'll see where that goes.
You know who I can see really liking Berube?
Who's that?
Brady Tkachuk.
Well, there's a lot of history there, right?
Yes.
It's the St. Louis Mafia.
So there's Elliot Friedman, and that's courtesy of the 32 Thoughts podcast. Encourage you to listen to that program. Very good. And so what say you about Elliot's thoughts on Craig Berube?
Well, it's not concrete what he's saying. Basically, what it came down to in the end is he's been interviewed. Sure, it makes perfect sense. And, of course, Bruce reported that that Dean Evason has interviewed as well. That makes sense too. There's guys out there. Steve Staios keeps things close to the vest and is going through the process here. And I'm sure McClellan will get an interview as well. I just can't help thinking that if the choice was going to be Berube, you could have hired him in January. Like, you didn't have to wait till now. There's people out there that they want to interview still, that they still want to get to, and that aren't even available yet at this point in time. So I have no doubt that Craig Berube's on their list. I have no doubt that he may be the front runner at this point, but I still think there's time to go here before the announcement's going to come.
Well, he may be the one that's calling the shots though. You know, maybe they did want to hire him back in December, but maybe said no, wants to see what else shakes out of the tree. And he's also getting paid handsomely by the St. Louis Blues. So maybe he wanted to, you know, take his time. He's afforded that with all the money that he's still got owed to him by the Blues. And whoever's going to bring him in is going to, well, they're going to have to pay. So I guess, I don't know. That's one reason why they may not have done it right away. There's always this assumption that the Sens are in the driver's seat, but the Evasons or the McClellans or whoever you want to talk about, they may, in fact, be rebuffing the Ottawa Senators when they come hat in hand and say, hey, would you like to be our coach? Maybe, but give me a few months because I want to see what else is going on out there. There's another name that just popped out and another competitor. Last episode, we talked about Lindy Ruff, him being hired on by the Buffalo Sabres. So Buffalo drops out of the competition for a new coach. San Jose now has entered the ring as far as competition for Ottawa and the game of musical coaching musical chairs. and David Oliver is out of work. I'd still want to talk to the guy. I want to have a conversation. I honestly think that God himself could not have coached the San Jose Sharks out of last place. God himself, Greg. And his time in New York, if you look back to his time in New York, 2 months before he was hired in New York, the Rangers famously put out a letter to their fans saying, suck it up, folks. We're about to go into a rebuild here and bail on a bunch of their players.
Do you want to do that all over again? His name's David Quinn.
Oh, David Oliver. Now we'll leave it in there. David Quinn. You can jump in there at some point and correct me.
I did. I said Quinn at one point. I apologize. But yes,
no, David Quinn. It's the internet. It's the internet effect. Any interjection gets lost sometimes. So apologies for that.
Do I think he can coach? No, I don't think he's the right guy for this team. And I read your article on the Hockey News about his connection with Brady Tkachuk, having coached him at PU. I don't see him as being better. My choice is Evason right now of the names that are out there. That's my first choice. I don't know that David Quinn is any competition or any better than, I don't know that he's even any better than McClellan or Berube for that matter. But the thing that does concern me though, is as you started this piece here, is that's one more spot that's open in the NHL. That's one more competitive opening that might appeal to someone that the Senators are possibly approaching. And the guy might say, well, no, you know what? I'm going to go to San Jose because I do know the way.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Do you see David Quinn as being a candidate here, or do you put him ahead of anybody else that's out there?
Not remotely my lead candidate,
right?
But this whole idea has been about due diligence. We've put everybody in line, you know, whether it's Edmonton, go through the list, St. Louis, Minnesota, all the coaches that got fired. We immediately just fire them into the Sens bank of possible candidates. I think David Quinn is not somebody I would rule out just because he was the coach of a freaking terrible hockey team.
Yeah, but I still think that other people are ahead of him. I agree with your point. They said all along they're going to hold off on this decision, not just so they can do due diligence on DJ and then due diligence on the players, et cetera, but also part of the reason for holding off was to see what fleshes out, who comes available come the off season. And now here's your first one of the off season, sorry, the second one of the off season, because I guess Granato is available. Don Granato is also a name that could be added to the list now that he's available too after Buffalo let him go. So it makes sense, right? They're taking their time because they want to make sure that they don't hire somebody and then 3 weeks later, John Cooper leaves the Tampa Bay Lightning or something like that, or you know, heaven forbid, Rod Brind'Amour suddenly says, you know, I want a bigger challenge. I'm out of here. You know, if some big name comes out there and they've already hired Craig Berube, let's say, then they go, oh darn, you know, we screwed that up. So they're taking their time, which they're perfectly allowed to do that. There's no reason why they shouldn't at this point. Like, what's the coach doing in the off season? He's not really doing much. So take your time, check out all the candidates, and make the right decision. I think that we're all in agreement that whoever it is, for the first time in a long time, is going to be a name, is going to be an NHL coach with a resume, with experience as a head coach in the NHL. The days of first-timers and first-opportunity guys are done. And I'm that's the best news out of all of this.
Well, I would tend to agree. I'm with you on that, and that I'm ready for someone who has NHL pedigree. But when I see John Gruden's name out there and seeing this team's fondness for past connections and rekindling them, it wouldn't shock me if we get yet another first timer in Ottawa for the coming season, which would not sit well with a lot of fans. Every time John Gruden's name comes up, it's at best intrigue and at worst, oh dear God, no, anything but that. So
I can see him as an assistant.
He's been that for a while, though. I think he's probably ready for the next step.
You know, not here.
But yeah. David Oliver, by the way, is a famous Ottawa Senator two-timer. I love that trivia question. All the guys who played for the Ottawa Senators went away and then returned to the organization. David Oliver played 233 games in the league. He was here in 98-99 for 17 games, went to the Phoenix Coyotes the following year, played 9 games, and then back to the Sens for 7 games after that. David Oliver.
Attention truck enthusiasts, are you ready to experience the power, performance, and innovation of a legendary vehicle? Look no further than the 2023 Ford F-150 at Jim K. Ford. We have incredible deals and financing options tailored just for you. Visit Jim K. Ford today and experience the thrill of driving the best-selling truck in Canada, the 2023 Ford F-150. Visit us at 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans or at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Hey, if you like a nice drink with family and friends, I'd like to recommend a nice bottle of Beaver's Dram Premium Canadian Whiskey. Imagine a nice whiskey with less bite and more flavor that's soft and warm with subtle flavors of orange and dark chocolate and a hint of sherry in there too. Pick up a bottle of Seven Seals Beaver's Dram Premium Canadian Whiskey today at the LCBO or order online at DunRobinDistilleries.com. So Mark Mathot in the news. In that he gave a pretty bleak assessment of the Ottawa Senators situation to TSN 1200. And Mark's great. I think he's fantastic and a great analyst. But yeah, he was brutally honest. He said this week on TSN 1200, "It's got to be a sobering thought for Sens fans. I'm looking at the makeup of the Senators right now, and I'm looking at the product that we're seeing right now on the ice in the postseason. And I still don't think the Senators are that close." He says, "I know they have Brady. I get that. When I'm looking at their bottom six and the depth, they don't really have a lot of threats, not a lot of physicality down there." And he also says the whole back end is a mess right now. I can't really take issue with anything he says there, but it was a big old dose of honesty, I think, from Mark Mathot this week.
But you know what, Steve? I think if we could roll back the tape, you and I made the same sort of comments last year when we were watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, saying, "Wow, don't you get a good look now and a good read on how far out, how far off the Senators are?" And they really didn't do too much addition-wise between last year and this year. And yeah, they are a long way from contending. But their next step isn't to be a Stanley Cup contender. Their next step is to be a playoff team. So let's get a team into the playoffs and then, you know, do some tinkering this offseason, get a playoff team for next year and the year after, and do a little more tinkering, and eventually you'll get to that stage. That's the whole idea here, is that you want to grow and develop the program and the players within it and make additions where necessary from outside the organization and get to that stage. It's something to aspire to. It's not something to necessarily look at and go, "Oh my God, we're nowhere near there." Well, yeah, we know you're not there. You're not in the playoffs. Duh. That's obvious. You're not there. So things need to change, and the change is going to come.
There's so many potential roads that could get you to the playoffs and the Stanley Cup someday. And the notion of expectations has been interesting under Steve Staios. Staios, he gave an interview to Gino Retta of TSN, I believe it was the NHL GM meetings, and he basically said something along the lines where we're paralyzed by expectations. It wasn't the word paralyzed, but something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. I think about when John Muckler was here, and he had already had Stanley Cup rings, and he became the GM of the Ottawa Senators, and the Sens were coming of age, and they went to that 07 Cup final. And Muckler said something along the lines of, "When we were the Oilers and the dynasty years and everything like that, you know, we really took the next step when we started talking about our potential and talking about winning a Stanley Cup. They weren't afraid of expectations at all. In fact, John Muckler was encouraging it." And now you have Staios, every time he's in front of a microphone now, that we found debilitating was the word, that the expectations for this young group were debilitating. And he sounded in his last news conference like, you know, it continues to be an issue. We can't be allowing ourselves to get ahead of the game and coming up with expectations, because that can wreck us. Where are you on expectations and the effect it does or doesn't have?
Well, I think expectations need to be the same as goals. They need to be practical. They need to be attainable. They need to be, you know, if you want to sit there and say, "Well, my expectation is we're going to compete for the Stanley Cup within 5 years," I don't think that's an acceptable a goal. I don't think that's even attainable. But if the goal is we want to make the playoffs next season, there's nothing wrong with saying that. If that debilitates your players, then you got a lot more serious problems than who's playing D on your right side of your second pair. You got way more bigger problems. So it's not so much that the expectations expectations in general are debilitating. No, it's unreasonable or unrealistic expectations that are debilitating. And I don't know that there's anybody here who felt that this team was a Stanley Cup contender. Most people just said the start of the year, it should be a playoff team. And that was the expectation. And that was a reasonable one at the time. And it was pretty much a reasonable one up until, 2 weeks into the season, you know, when you had no Pinto and your GM was screwing things up and gone and all the injuries hit and the usual bad start and boom, out the window with those expectations.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I find that the word seems to, I don't know, there's an allergy. There's a real resistance about it. And I suppose it's semantics a little bit. What do you mean by expectations? And I agree with you that, you know, where does expectations become a goal? You have to set some level of, to achieve something. Mm-hmm. I really feel like you have a personnel problem if you have a team that can be debilitated by goals and expectations. And I think it was Wayne Scanlon at Steaua's year-ender with the media. He put it to him, is this team like, you know, dealing more with, is it the way they play or is it a personnel issue? Steaua said it's a little from column A, a little from column B, a bit of both. Right. Where are you on that? Like, is it more the way they play or do we have to start accepting that? Like, what's the bigger problem of the two? Is it the way they play as is or is it they just don't have the right personnel?
They don't have enough of the right personnel. And I think that's been the problem here all along. The way this team was constructed, built by Pierre Dorion, I think that he did a great job during the rebuild years of, you know, shipping players out and acquiring draft pick capital. But I think he wasted a lot of that draft picks, all those picks. Too many of them got traded. I mean, one got traded away to get rid of Matt Murray's contract. They traded away a pick to get rid of Zaitsev's contract. Some of the other picks were flipped and flopped here and there. I don't think he did anywhere near a good enough job of capitalizing on the burn destruction years of the get rid of everybody, acquire draft capital. That was wasted in my mind. There's nowhere near enough to show for those terrible years. And now you're reaping the lack of reward from those years. You just don't have enough here. You didn't acquire the right guys, veterans. You didn't, you can't really criticize the draft picks, but really you can criticize the draft picks after the first round. Like or even after the second round, I guess, because there were some second round picks in there. I think Pinto was a first pick of the second round, was he not?
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, the guys they were taking, where's that third round gem? You know, where's that guy they found in the third round or the guy they found in the fourth round even? There just aren't enough of that here that are contributing and playing significant roles. And that's where you're missing the pieces, the role players. Everyone knows it's the bottom six and it's probably the bottom three on the blue line and it's, well, goaltending and it's coaching, you know, there's all kinds of things there. But the one that you had control over with all the picks and the personnel with the GM was your bottom six and your blue line. And it just, there wasn't enough done to acquire the right pieces.
Still so young, but I think that there's a soft skill here. We've talked about it a million times. I mean, just watch back to Mark Mathot's thoughts, and I really feel like there's just so many fiery, heavy, big, mean, fast players going right now. Some of them have skill on top of everything else. I really feel like there's a, if I'm to pick one, and we've discussed, you know, that's not to say that the other's not also a problem, but I think the bigger of the two is they need to ship out some of these guys for just different people. They just don't have enough of the kind of people that we're seeing in this postseason. You know, they might have enough to get there if the things go their way and they stay healthy and the goaltending's a little better. They might squeak into the playoffs, but I mean, they'll be the Islanders. They'll be a easy first round fodder for somebody.
Yeah, they don't have enough of what's required, and I don't know that what they do have has enough to raise their game either. Like, right. Who in that roster can you see in the playoffs raising your game to another level? I can see Brady Tkachuk doing that. I can see Claude Giroux at his age showing up in the playoffs and having a better playoff streak or play than he did during a season. But the rest of them, I just don't see it. You know, I can't see Thomas Chabot suddenly being better in the playoffs. I can't even, maybe Shane Pinto, but is a Tim Stützle going to be a different player in the playoffs? I think that if Tim Stützle is a different player in the playoffs, it's the other way. He's going to be less of a factor in the playoffs than he is in the regular season.
Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Let's talk a little bit about Bob Cole, because that's something that I think touched every hockey fan. Kenny Dryden, I think he once said that the golden age of hockey is whoever was playing when you were 12 years old. And what was tied into that golden age of hockey was the voice of Bob Cole. And he passed away on Wednesday night, surrounded by family at the age of 90. Man, in the last 20 years, oh my God, he definitely had some glitches to his game. Sens fans used to get, you know, enraged that he'd stumble on their name, the Sens player. If he gave the name at all, he'd often say things like the Senators guy, what? But if you look at the body of work and the iconic status that he achieved for himself and the unbelievable number of special moments in the sport of hockey, it's become a trite term, like everybody saying the same thing. He's the soundtrack of Saturday night, but that really is what he was.
Exactly. Think of every single hockey game that rings in your mind as one that you watched on TV, and not a local one. I mean, a big one, you know, a national team one or a national broadcast. And it was Bob Cole doing the call. You know, it was Bob Cole on the Mario turning turning Ray Bourque inside out, turning Sean Chambers inside out. It was Bob Cole for the Joseckic, you know, and that's got to be it. You know, that was Bob Cole. Even other things like I forgot about, you know, the Todd Marchant goal. You remember that one from the game 7 against Dallas in the playoffs, or it might have even still been Minnesota. That's how old that goal was, but I think it was Dallas. But that's Bob Cole. Like, so that's when people say he's the soundtrack of my youth or he's the soundtrack of the game. Yeah, he is. He was Foster Hewitt before him. He is our Vin Scully. Like, he is to hockey what Vin Scully is to baseball in the United States, or a Bob Costas going to take it over from Vin. You know, that's the guy. He's the voice, and has been and always will be for people of our age who grew up listening to it.
Lots of Ottawa Senator moments. If you want to talk regional, you know, the very first Ottawa Senators game, Neil Brady scoring the first goal in Sens history. He was there for the entire 2017 run. He called, Clark MacArthur's game 6 overtime goal against Boston. He had Kyle Turris's game 4 overtime goal against the Rangers. And of course, he had Alfie's beautiful hit on Darcy Tucker. Perfect textbook hit, where he went in and scored in the 0-2 playoffs. And naturally, he had Alfie's game 5 overtime goal to win the conference title. Just memory after memory. If you're of a certain vintage too, you'll remember like 72 Summit Series. He was actually on the CBC radio call. Yep. Everybody remembers Foster Hewitt, but Cole did the radio version, and also did the they're going home after the Soviets threatened to leave in the middle. Well, they did leave in the middle of a game. They came back 15 minutes later after being told they weren't going to get paid. But the Flyers were doing their Broad Street bully routine on them, and the Soviets had finally had enough, and Bob called that one as well. So many more on top of that, too.
50 years, Steve. 50. Yeah. 50 years calling hockey games on the CBC or Rogers. That's amazing in and of itself, right? The fact that he called at least one game of the Stanley Cup final every year from 1980, I believe it was, to 2016 or 2017. Like, his last couple of years, he didn't necessarily do the finals anymore, but called at least one game in the Stanley Cup finals for over like 40 years. Like, it's ridiculous. It's crazy, almost 40 years, to think of it that way, right? It's It's truly amazing. And I agree with you that at the end, his mind wasn't quite there. And yes, he did have little blips with the players on the ice, who was who. But the one thing that never changed was his ability to raise his voice at just the right time. Like, he could sense what was happening and get the excitement level would come up in his voice. And like, if you were in the other room and you suddenly heard Bob's voice getting a little louder, you'd run in because you knew something was coming.
Chris Cuthbert learned that very nicely. He's the same way, I find. With Bob, though, it didn't even need to be English anymore. It could have been total gibberish, and occasionally it was, but it could just be, like you said, you can tell, you know, it's just run-of-the-mill hockey in the neutral zone, and it would just raise at the right time. It could be, and it just was so great, even though sometimes it got off the rails, but certainly an amazing career and a well-lived life, and certainly the hockey world had tributes aplenty here over the last day and a half. Moving on. Looks like Marcus Hogberg's back in the NHL. We don't know where, though. It's kind of interesting. On social media, his Swedish team that he went back to 3 years ago and put pretty decent numbers this past year. He's been there for 3 years, and I guess they parted company, and he signed a 2-year contract with an NHL organization, but we don't know where exactly. And who'd be shocked if Hogberg came back to the NHL to be a star, you know?
Because yeah, exactly.
He got caught up like so many other NHL goalies did. And the two that they have right now, they may, you know, history may show the same thing, but it's hard to suggest that the play in front of these goalies has nothing to do with it. Oh, look at their analytics and stuff. Yes, that's a factor. But when every single goalie since Craig Anderson, and there have been a lot, whether it's, well, I got a list here, Gustafson, Decord, Murray, Sogard, Talbot, Korpisalo, and a bunch of others who had real cups of coffee, like, they all have terrible stats. At some point, you have to accept the fact that what's going on in front of these goalies is part of it. And who'd be shocked if Hogberg signed on with, you know, a middle of the road team and became a much better goalie than he ever was here. When he got let go 3 years ago, Pierre Dorion said, "We have enough goaltending, both in quantity and quality." Quotes that did not age well, Greg.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Pierre had more than a few quotes that didn't age well.
True.
Yeah.
That might be a top five list for a future show. All right, moving on. Yeah. A couple of things around the league. For starters, congratulations to the Belleville Senators. They finally won their first playoff game ever.
Yeah.
So between the Ottawa Senators and the Belleville Senators, whose history is only 7 years, which is also the amount of time the Sens have been in a playoff drought, between Belleville and Ottawa, their win on Wednesday night was the first for the organization in the playoffs in 7 years. Ay, caramba. That's so bad.
Big game tonight, though.
Correct, yeah. I might shell out the $8.99 for AHL TV and watch that.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Available online. But yeah, good luck to Belleville, and certainly a lot of firsts. Not only Belleville getting their first playoff win, you had three beautiful goals in the game. Ostapchuk, first goal. Kleven, first goal. I'm trying to remember. It was Josh Curry. He would have had more than that. He's an old AHL veteran. So good luck to the Belleville Senators as they try and win the first series in their team's history. And a couple of other ones as we head out the door. What's going on with William Nylander exactly? So the Leafs have taken on the Boston Bruins. They're down 2-1 in the series. William Nylander has missed the first three games, and it's been somewhat of a mystery as to why. There have been rumors of he's got a headache, or migraines rather. He has a meeting with the media today, and he basically said, no, it's personal, which led to people going, oh, well, he's quitting on the team or something like that. Like, why wouldn't you, if you're the Leafs and William Nylander, just say, I've got a health issue, I'm not telling you?
Yeah, I think that's what they were trying to do, except they didn't use the word health. He's got an issue. We're not releasing any further details. Deal with it. The thing that confused people was that he was on the ice for a game day skate. Like, if you're good enough and strong enough to go on the ice for a game day skate, then why aren't you playing in the game that night? I think that was before game two, right?
Right.
I don't understand it. Like, You're absolutely right. Like, just tell us what it is. Like, if even if it is a personal issue, say that officially, an official team announcement that, you know, he's dealing with something. You don't have to tell us what, but something, some news, something tangible that, that the poor blue team fans can latch onto would probably help them.
Yeah, no doubt. Are the Leafs going to come back in that series? Please say no. Please say no.
You know who I picked. I did officially in my NHL.com bracket pick the Leafs to win the series. So I believe they're going to come back, Steve. Sorry.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough.
I believe
they're going to be disqualified from the series and their membership in the league revoked. Finally, Patrick Kane. I've grown to hate the Red Wings, not to the level I hate the Leafs, but I think a lot of Sens fans over the last year, you know, the whole thing that happened with Artem Zub and David Perron and all the reaction and social media venom that followed, a lot of Sens fans don't like the Red Wings fans now or the team. And Patrick Kane in the news in that I'll read his tweet. Does this sound like a guy is going to be back in Motown the next season? Thank you, Red Wings, my teammates, coaches, and all the fans of Hockey Town for welcoming me and my family with open arms this season. This past year gave us memories we'll never forget. The work doesn't stop. Patrick Kane on Twitter this week. Does that sound like a guy's coming back?
I think Jacob Chychrun wrote that for him, didn't he? Here, Patty, send this out. This is the best way to be non-committal.
Yes.
Yeah, it sure sounds like he's not back. Just as Jacob Chychrun sounds like he doesn't want to come back, it sure seems like Patty Kane's not going back to Detroit. I assume he feels he's got a couple more years left in him now, and probably Detroit doesn't want to pony up what he thinks he's worth. He's going to test free agency, and go ahead, Patty. Go get your big payday. Another one.
Yeah, you mentioned the Chychrun thing and Mark Methot getting back to what he said on TSN 1200 this week. He was quite critical of that comment that he hadn't thought about maybe playing in Ottawa in several seasons from now.
Yeah, right.
Methot basically said, I didn't think that was a good comment. I think at the very least you lie, you act enthused moving forward, and that's just being professional. To me, those words were very heavy, kind of gave me the impression that maybe he's not that interested in coming back. Could be wrong, just a hunch, but that is an area they need to address. He has a year left. Great value there. You'd have to think you could bring home some pretty strong pieces in return.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who has 1 year left on his deal, and you're seriously trying to tell us that you hadn't thought about next year, hadn't thought about moving on, haven't thought about free agency in a year? Like, come on. Surely he's thought about it, and he's made up his mind that he's probably resigned to the fact that they're going to deal him.
And July 1st is only 63 days away.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when you're eligible for an extension. So I can't believe that there's been zero thought of it. With that, we'll call it a day. Want to thank our great sponsor today, David Oliver. Congratulations to David Oliver. No one's talked about David Oliver this much in 15 years. So I'm sure I'll send him a note. Maybe he'll retweet the show.
Maybe you should dig up see if you can find a Bob Cole calling a David Oliver goal and play that for us here.
Well, that won't be hard to find. Why don't you do that? And then you just forward it to me. If you can find it, I'll throw it in. Don't forget our website is SensNationHockey.com. As well, check out the hockey news. That's THN.com/Ottawa. You can go to the main site and see all the league-wide news. But if you want to see some Sens-centric articles, there's tons there. THN.com/Ottawa. Greg, enjoy your weekend, my friend, and we shall talk to you in our next episode.
I certainly will. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for being with us on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and review. Share the show with your friends and followers, or become a member on Patreon. Check out our website today at SensNationHockey.com.